Hello, we're on the air. This is the Bright Lights Pathfinder Show with Kathy Cook. And my star host this evening is Jennifer Hillman. Jennifer has her own talk show, which is live on BBS Radio on Thursday evenings. Hello, Jennifer.
Hey, Kathy. It's great to be on here.
Oh, it's great to have you with me. Let's let you tell a little bit about yourself, since there's so much to tell. Goodness gracious.
Basically, I am certified as an intuitive life coach. I am clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairascendant, claircognizant. I basically can dabble in a little bit of everything. I am really focusing a little bit more on writing and the radio show. And but I absolutely adore Kathy, and I do love doing readings and talking about the wonderful things going on in this universe of ours. My website is angelsintuition.com if you want more information.
That's angels, angelsintuition.com.
Yes.
Okay, is that where everything is?
Well, I do have kind of a center hub, which is my jenniferhillman.com, which is JennifierHillman.com. And there is a personal side and a business side. And because I do have a variety of different businesses, I have Angel's Intuition, and then I have Abstract Illusions, and my radio show is AIR, which is Abstract Illusions Radio, and it explores and exposes the different aspects of the human experience through the healing arts of self-expression. It's also, Abstract Illusions is also a support network for creative expression. So.
And it's fantastic.
Thank you.
What's so weird is we met each other without even knowing that one another were on BBS, because I was on my sabbatical at the time, and mm-hmm. we just clicked, and we became nearly inseparable for so long,
right?
Because we were so much on the same path, you know, and we couldn't stop talking about the learning from each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just find you fascinating. Your writing is phenomenal.
Well, so is yours.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so
and
much.
And your photographs. Oh, it's like the one thing that me and Kathy really do have in common is we both are artists in many aspects, in the healing arts, in the spiritual readings, but also I think we're both very accomplished as photographers, writers, poets.
And in the metaphysical. You know what just jumped on my window? A man of war.
A what?
One of those man of wars, you know, those great big, you know, with the big long eyes and, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It just jumped on my way. I have never seen one here before. You bring out the craziest things at my house. I tell you. Anyway, I had to say that because it startled me.
Okay, this is going to be a fun show.
I know, it always, every time we're around each other, something great happens. But a summer solstice, I call you my sunflower.
Because yes.
You remind me of all the aspects of just the different ways the sun can be. And I drew a sunflower with the flames coming out of the petals. And that was June the 21st of this year, and that's when I planted my garden. That's the last time I drew. Somebody told me I needed to draw last night for today because I found out my daughter's having a little girl.
And I aww, got congratulations.
Yeah, she looked like a little alien little girl in there. She was so cute. Oh, it was so amazing. But anyway, what we decided to discuss tonight and open the lines for intuitive consultations, readings, whatever you want to call it. But we wanted to discuss our inside communications, our conversations with ourselves, and mm-hmm. our inner dialogues. And Jennifer, I was just thinking, you know, that's kind of like a call to activation, you know, the great charges within ourselves, the survival, you know, the how we get rid of our old baggage. Some of us are, I see it as two different sets coming from the stars, you know, coming from the heavens. You know, we have the first set, which is the old souls over and over and over that are here to set the pattern and to get rid of the old, to make way for that 1111, you know.
Right.
And then we have that new set, the new, and we decide to stay or either go, but yet we have that new group that comes in, and they just can't wait to get out there, learn more, absorb more, and the old, you know, the first set is like, you know, likes more quietness and been there, done that, and when's it going to be done? I feel like I've died over and over again. You know what?
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
And even in one lifetime, it just seems like, okay, I just died again. Okay, what's next?
I know. I was telling Don the other night, because I've gone through a week and a half of living thinking I was dead, as you well know. But I literally thought I had died. But all that was, now looking back at my 1111 book, that was just shedding the old again, because what I feel it is that we have this power within us. Everybody does, right? And if we use that power, then that power can be, you know, I don't know how to put this, but I found with myself that I'm a pretty laid back, easy going, loving person. But when somebody tells me what to do, or instead of asking me what to do, I'll do anything for you. But telling me what to do, I feel controlled. I'll come up with some bold, hard truths. I never do lie, hardly ever. I might color things slightly different and make them prettier than they are. But I've learned to carry my sword, and I see my dad's sword that he has, and I carry it inside myself and let it stab me a little bit, you know, and to make me realize to keep my powerful self down and keep it calm, and don't let people know so much about who I am, what I do, and the masterhoods that I have accomplished, so that I look evenly keeled, if that makes any sense, so I don't stand out there so big, you know.
Right.
Keep myself at the chips off my shoulders.
And actually, you know, the threat's away from you, because, I mean, if you really are as bright as you possibly can, Kathy, number one, you'd be blinding a lot of people because you're so brilliant. But also, you'd probably have a lot of people trying to steal your light because it is so brilliant. So you are a shining star, my dear, in so many ways. And you really have honed your inner voice and trusted it. And I think you and I both have had kind of the school of hard knocks as we were growing up and as young adults. So we both know that it's we've earned our wings, shall we say, in many ways. But honoring the inner voice and honoring who you truly are is – that's what it's all about right now, is truly being true to you and understanding what is going on now. Is if you got any baggage, the stars, the astrology, and just the cosmic energy is going to bring it to the surface, and your voice will be getting louder and louder to make sure that you hear that call and start cleaning things out, because time is not for the wasting anymore.
No, it's not. It's like things are going to change big time on December 31st, 2011. You know, the activation of, you know, going higher and higher. We all were pre-encoded before we come down here, as we all know. God, you know, soul was created by God in his image. But, you know, the stars... to me, this is, you know, we can put on a mask and we can be on the stage and we can play the game, but we have to, we can take them off. You know, we can, we're behind there. We're in the real behind those masks, you know. Mm-hmm. So whatever mask we put on to go out there and parade around in life in general, my mother calls them hats. She says we wear many hats, you know, like a business hat or a fun hat or a party hat or whatever. But
right.
Whatever hat we do have, she says we're bald on it anyway. You know, she says no matter what you look at, you're going to have to look at your skull and your noggin and realize that your actions are your reactions from other people. And the thing that really gets me, Jennifer, and I'm trying to comprehend, is that, you know, the orders that we are to carry out. And if we don't listen to the orders that we were sent here to carry out, placed here on earth,
mm-hmm.
then that's when we get stung by our own selves, you know, with our the power thing, that like the chip on the shoulder thing, you know,
right.
Or you know, when somebody bugs me, something that is affecting me, something inside of myself, right? Something
mm-hmm.
But that's something that I'm not paying attention to, you know, because we got to get serious with this. I mean, we can play and have a great time and learn at the same time, you know.
And it's kind of a fun dance.
It is a fun dance because there's all kinds of cha-chas out there.
Oh, yes, there is. There's cha-chas and salsas, and don't forget the rumba.
Girlfriend, you can do some dancing. You know, that brings up a whole new thing about you to, you know, to say about the show. You are a professional dancer.
Oh, I wouldn't say I'm a professional, but I love it.
I've seen some of those pictures.
I
you know how to do all those dances.
I can follow along. I did take some ballroom dance classes, and I've been told several times by different teachers that I have a natural ability for dance. So I feel the music. It's definitely a part of me, and that makes all the difference with dance.
Yeah. The there was one that I really, really liked. It looks like the little things that you would hold over your head and go, ding, 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 a dee ba dee ba dee ba. What is that dance?
Oh, God.
Black dress on with the long belt thing. You were on the pool table.
Oh, that was, actually, that's the tango.
Oh, wow.
That's a tango dress.
I was going to tell them about your devil outfit at Halloween, but... I already did, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Oh, you have got such a photographic face and body and physique. And, you know, I know you're just, the reason being, Jennifer, is you are just who you are. You're not a put on. You don't say, oh, look at me, look at me, look at me. You just are that particular way. You just are you. You know, I do want to say, that you have credentials out the bazooka. You've been to schools, many metaphysical schools, right?
Well, I've gotten a lot of certifications, yes.
Yes. Would you mind sharing a little bit about those?
Sure. I am certified as a Reiki master teacher. I am certified as a master hypnotherapist and master NLP practitioner, which is NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, which is also, I do a lot of timeline coaching, which is very similar to past life regressions.
Now, Jennifer, I don't know what past life regressions are, but I've had several people ask me what that is, so you might want to go in and explain that a little bit further, if you don't mind.
Sure. Past life regression is... many people believe, and me being one of them, that there are parallel existences, and the parallel existences are actually like you in another time, literally like, say, 1850. And in 1850-something happened to you that you're still holding, as Kathy would say, that chip on your shoulder, you when can you, carry yeah. the... Yes, so you can bring that forward throughout all your lives, and the energy that is coming up now, it really brings those up. Plus, the timelines are collapsing, so a lot of things that you are, a lot of deja vu. You say like this really feels like it happened already. Most likely, it did, and you're remembering, or that essence from the past life is integrating within you now. So past life regression can really make a little bit of a huge difference, understanding where you came from, the issues you're dealing with. I used a lot of it if I met someone who I just got a feeling I had something to do with them. I literally would ask, what is the past life with this person? What's the lesson? Just show me it now. And they would show me the past life and the issues I was dealing with to heal it quickly. But I've done a lot of past life regressions with people who have no idea. They do not believe in past life regressions. And we go back in time and, you know, next thing you know, they were born in 1955. Next thing we know, we're in the 1940s. And the next thing we know, we're in the 1700s. And they're going, wait a minute. Because when you do a past life regression, you remember going back in time. You are very much aware of what's going on. I'm not feeding you any line. You're telling me. I'm just guiding you backwards. So it can be a very interesting thing. And you can also do it going forward as well as backwards.
You and I did one. It took us over 2 months to do, remember?
Yes.
But, I mean, we did it almost every day, back and forth, kind of like a round robin.
Yes, we did. That was fascinating.
We ended on February the 23rd, as a matter of fact, because that was the day I got off of the ritual sabbatical. And I was getting on with Medicine Walker to do a ceremony, and I was telling a little bit about it. But that was very, very, very interesting and wonderful. And you taught me a lot, because I had always blanked myself out when I did those with other people, and you taught me how to stay there and feel it with the client, because it has a lot to teach me as well.
Yes, and yet you're not attaching to it, but you are feeling and learning from it.
Mm-hmm. And see, before all these years when I used to work with others doing that, I always detached myself and would come back as I, you know, and not hardly remember any part of the read because I had detached. I think because I was afraid it was going to be so much like mine, you know, and I didn't want to feel it again. But you taught me a lot about how to walk through that, kind of like a doorway.
Mm-hmm. And it is very healing.
Yeah, it was. It is very healing. It's like a wake-up call each time we do one. And what we're trying to do here, active listeners, is, you know, it's all about ascension time, and it's about the mastery of empowerment, embodiment, and the truest, highest self that we can get with freedom and sacred union of true love, being one heart with oneness. And if we get rid of all that and know where we have been with these regressions, then the more we understand our pre-encoded plans of what we're to do here. Do you agree with that, Jennifer?
Most definitely.
And it's like a roadmap that has already been planned out for us. But it's like I've always said, I was born in an upside-down world. I was born upside down in a right-side-up world. Well, today we're known as the normals in the right side of the world, you know, because the world's turned upside down. But I opened this. It's a white book. It's 1111 called Soul Trek. They only made a few of them. And it's back in 1992. And Pete and I just happened, I kept seeing the number 1111 all the time. He kept thinking I was crazy. And I found the book, this day, the other day. And Jennifer, I just want to tell you, I know you've never read it or even probably even read it, but it's so much of what you teach. And you remember that story I told you about Elaine, the angel that came to me when I was a child?
Yes.
Okay, but it's not Elaine, it's EL.AN.RA. Isn't that something?
That's amazing.
And the AN is, it's like the Archangel Michael. And what I wanted to open it up to is it's called the first and second wave. Now listen to how on target you are. This is going to blow your mind. It says, the first wave, it's by Soltra, okay, and it's the first wave being close to coming to Earth in order to anchor the new, okay? That's the first wave. They're the ones that are here to experience countless embodiments upon this planet, thus have been the holders of the ancient wisdom as well as the leaders, prophets, visionaries. The first wave have everything and have been everything. They are aligned with the number 11 because they are long-cycled experience here. First foremost, the first wavers are profoundly weary and longing to return home. It's difficult to get many first wavers to be very enthusiastic about anything on this earth plane.
Amen, sister.
This is mind-blowing. It's like you wrote this. In contemplating their missions and their way moving onward. Now, the second wave's purpose is to build upon the new ones firmly anchored. They're aligned, and their numbers are 22. They have far less earthly experience. This doesn't mean that they're less advanced. Rather, they have spent more time off the planet than the second waivers, are the future leaders, the artists, the sacred architects, but the first waivers are teaching the second waivers. And so, therefore, the first waivers have been hiding away for years in quiet seclusion, and they have, like, they feel like they've gotten their energy served, and they've already given their fullest time, and they're just waiting and exhausted, and they feel like they've died over and over again. And then the first waivers, they can't wait to get out in the world and watch people and see what they're doing and see who they are and read more and more and just get more and more out there. But is that amazing or what? That's just three paragraphs in this big, thick book. I just had to share that with you because that's so much of, you know, it's good to find old books that I've never read, you know, it's just
that really confirms and reaffirms things that, you know, we know, but and to see it in text, it's like, wow, that's so cool.
I know, especially a 1992 book.
Right. You
know, there's so many books out there today, it's hard to go through. And, you know, I love reading the books, though, because it tells the people's experiences, you know, and strengths and hopes. And there's so many out there. You have started a new blog. I'm
just restarting it, shall we say. I kind of stopped doing some writing, and I am being kind of pushed to start it up and start writing every day. I did a blog actually started it back in 2006, and I wrote every day through 2008, and then I took 2009 basically off, and now they're saying it's time to start writing again. And it's very interesting because my blogs basically are about the process. And it's kind of saying, been there, done that. Here's what I did. Hope this helps. Take a gander and see what you think. It resonates with some people. Other people, it's like, that's interesting. And that's fine. I know that the process is something that everybody's going through, and we're all doing it in different ways. And it's just interesting because it's like I had a guest on last night, Tom Jacobs, who is an amazing astrologer, and he formulated a new way of healing Creon, who is the mythical Cintron, who is the wounded healer. And he did a lot of 2-year study on the myth and how it relates to humanity now, and found a way of healing the original wound, which generally is a separation or rejection from mom or dad. And for me, I take it one step further and say it's a separation from God, meaning being set down on this planet and really getting kind of angry at God for sending me down to this place, going over this thing again. At least that's a process I did. I went a step further other than just my mom and dad. I went to mom and dad, the original source, and kind of cleared my angst and upset with God and learned to trust and love all over again in a whole different way. But Tom has a great way of doing it. But it's very similar to NLP. So, and also shamanic death. There's a lot of different ways of really going deep within yourself, wouldn't you say, Kathy, and just kind of clearing the cobwebs.
God, it is so traumatically. If you're not prepared and you just want to do it, you could just really damage yourself. Thank God I had some good shamans that worked with me when I went on this path. It took me good 7 years to heal. And I'm still healing. I'm still healing. I still go there. But you're exactly right.
And
it's not a fad. It is serious business.
Very much so. I mean, in the end of 2009, I really did a shamanic ritual. And I actually talked to a shaman about the process, but Spirit said do it myself. So I just went into a really deep trance and collected some of the parts of the soul that I've given out to other people, and including the heart. I had somebody come and steal my heart a long time ago, and I wrote a poem about it. And Spirit goes, hello, look at this poem and look what you wrote. And that's the one thing I'm finding now is a lot of people are realizing that they've given their heart away, and that hurts, and it's time to collect it so you're whole and complete within yourself.
Yeah, I learned a long time ago, back when I was in dreams, to always keep your heart with your God center and to share your heart but never give it. And that I'm grateful for that lesson early on because it kept me from, you know, a lot of hurt. But I think of the earth as a womb that we're in, you know, that God put us in a womb, and Mother Earth is our womb, and that we're learning constantly and continuously to get, however we live on this earth, within the womb, is how we're going to get to the other side, you know, and get there by the doing that and behaviors that we have here on earth. And it is, like you said, you know, it's hard to let go of the feeling of being inside of God, which we still are, but the feeling of Him letting us go to learn, but He's there all along. But the feeling of letting go and letting Him relearn to let Him, it's almost like being turned upside down in a undertow, per se.
Right.
You know, and to know that He's the one that if we just do the dead man's float, He's there all along to help us through it. That's the way I see it.
And that's a wonderful way of seeing it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, can you read us some of your work? Do you have it handy?
Actually, I don't have anything handy.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I was hoping you had that heart one there.
Heart one?
Yeah, the one with the heart, you know, the broken, the torn.
Oh, I can get that up real quick.
Okay.
Just give me a second, I'll pull it up.
Okay.
Yes, I do a lot of poetry, as Kathy does as well. And I do have one book of poetry that's published. And this is a short one. It is in my original book of poems.
Okay. One thing about Jennifer and I, we never prepare for a show because we feel it takes the flavor out of a concoction.
Yes, it does. Okay. Easier way to do this. This one is, this is called You Came to Me.
Okay.
You came to me early and left far too soon. My life will never be the same. You came to me in a dream, like a vision of moonlight, and was gone by daybreak. Now I have this haunting ache until my dying day. Now I'm here alone without my soul. You stole my heart by going out the door, leaving me wanting more. You came to me in a whisper and left me in a roar. Now what am I to do with a love that will be no more?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. Wow. I don't know what you're going to do.
Well, actually, I wrote another poem, which I'm not sure where that one is, but that was part of the process. And I said, you know, you made a choice to go away. So I'm taking back my heart.
Oh, yeah.
And saying thank you very much for the lessons. But, I continued the poem and said, well, I figured out what I'm going to do. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to love you because that's unconditional love. And I learned a lot during the process of the situation with you, and I appreciate everything you do, but I'm taking back my heart. Thank you very much. Was basically what it said. So I answered that question.
Yeah, and it's the hardest part for me was to learn to like somebody and to like things, because liking is really, really, you know, if you like something, that's deep. That's childlike, right?
Right.
But love, to me, my love with people and things goes in and out. You know, it has different colors to it.
But oh, it's different. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, there's so many different levels of love, shall we say?
Yeah.
Or dimensions of love. So, yes, I agree with you.
So I was just thinking that when you said that, I was like, oh, wow. I don't know, because, I mean, my heart is so guarded.
Only well, mine is now, and it took a while
love myself
to open it up again.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was interesting because once I figured out my heart was gone, because I really literally could not feel my heart for the longest time, now I can. So, and it's like, yeah, I protect that baby.
Yeah. What do they call it? One of my poems I wrote was The Garden of My Heart. You know, keep the weeds out and, you know, keep it like a flower garden. And, you know, the debris of if people bother me with something or something's agitating me with it, then I weed that right away, you know, to keep the flowers in the garden of my heart pure and, you know, easy and beautiful. So that, you know, that no debris can get in there.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I wrote the other day for the first time in maybe 6 months. I'm just now coming out of a cocoon. And also, I've realized my eyesight's changing and my ears and
mm-hmm.
my body, everything, because I've let go of all that power and all that need to be, you know, look, you know, this is what I'm absorbing and learning. And it's just freely just sitting there now. And it's for whoever needs it will get it, and whoever
mm-hmm.
needs to come by and learn will, and take what they need and put the rest on the shelf and throw away what they don't need. And it's okay with me now. You know, instead of me saying, class, if you'd only pay attention.
Yes.
I don't need to do that anymore because it doesn't matter to me. It matters to me. Yes, it does. But what matters to me most is that I have learned to let it go. And that's that power thing. And to me, I'm more guarded, like you said. You know, the protection is more there if I don't shine that bright light out there. And I just, you know, let it just do its thing. In other words, if I just, it's just like a, you know, a knot in your shoe. If I don't try to sit there and tug on it, then it'll just loosely let go and untie. But the more I tug on it and pull on it, the tighter it gets, right?
Right.
So the powerful, the knot gets stronger and more powerful. So that's pretty accurate, Jennifer, that what you have to say. Y'all are really well.
Well, so do you. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the physical symptoms that I know a lot of people are having, the changing eyesight. So I know mine is changing, the hearing. Weight is fluctuating a lot. And a lot of people are just having aches and pains. And I'm just getting, it's just making room for more light to get in, and so we can handle the new energies coming in.
It's kind of like it's like your diet, you die over and over and over again, but you're going into like the kind of like the what can I say? Like you can see not imaginary. What's it called?
Invisible?
Thank you. Yes, invisible. You know, so your eyes weaken, but they're really not. They're strengthening because you see the little, like, you know, the energy waves and the, you know, the heat wave of a road, you know, but you see that everywhere. But it will settle down. You know, you'll get adjusted to it, or you'll see auras around things and, you know, or you'll hear real high pitches in your ears because you're starting to hear extremely well. All those things will subside and you'll get adjusted to it once you get used to it, because you're changing into that other dimension. That duality is changing, is what I know of it for myself.
Yes, it's unity. We're getting rid of duality and just being unity, just being part of the oneness. So it's very powerful, but it definitely, I mean, I'm seeing multidimensionals really clearly now. So it's like your physical sight might be dimming, but your inner vision is getting stronger.
It's like reconstructing is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's like saying that we're changing from carbon-based bodies into silicon light bodies, if that makes any sense.
That is a great way of putting it.
And then you think of the shifting of the energies that we're going through. Once, you know, we're aware of the things that are, that we're here for, that the reason that we're here and the doorway that we're going through, the activations, then, you know, things are going to calm down, especially in our heart. But even our chakras will change places, and they will not be in the same positions anymore. And our vision is, that's so interesting, because the third dimension of reality, actually our eyesight is becoming keener and keener and keener, but it seems like it's dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. You might even get twitches in your eye, like they go back and forth or they cross eye or whatever. Medicine Walker was here one day, came from Michigan, and I said, "Look at my eye, look at my eye." After we did the ceremony, and she goes, what? And I said, "It's crossing in, it's shaking back and forth." And that was because we had done such an intense ceremony. You know, all it is that it's just vastly changing. And once we become aware of that and don't get all freaked out over it, you know, and just go, it is what it is, you know, it's just part of it, then it'll be okay. But if we get afraid of it, because fear is something of the unknown, you know, mm-hmm. that's what fear is something unknown. If we embrace it as, oh, okay, that's just my eye shaking, you know, blah, 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 then, and go on with it and don't embrace it, but just accept it and acknowledge that it's doing it, you know, and go on and know that we're okay and just, you know, it, and get, we'll get accustomed to it quicker, in other words. It's a transformation. Mm-hmm. It's just the shift. Even our colors will change, you know, what we see. But, Jennifer, I wanted to tell you about the wings. Remember when you said your wings?
Yes.
Okay, in that book, it says that we grow these big white wings at first, but nobody can really see them. But it says then they turn golden, and then they turn totally crystalline.
Oh, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And then they're looking for anybody that knows the, like the winged lion and the unicorn and the winged dragons and, you know, to call upon them to be, to awaken up to. That's what it says in this book anyway. I haven't read but about three chapters. So that book's going to have my attention for a couple of days.
And well worth it. It sounds like a wonderful book.
Yeah, they only made like 100-something copies of it. I don't know why. But I got
it. Well, if it was, you know, if it was one of those deals that it was self-published because nobody would publish it?
No, it was self-published. I mean, it was published. It just says, that they only published so many of them. But I'm betting you could find it on Amazon. It's a white book, and it's got silver 11.11, and it's got a pyramid with a half moon over it, and the title, the lady that wrote it is Solara. Tell us about the healing of Orion, and what Orion, you know, how Orion came about,
That's always been a very strong interest of yours.
Yeah. And the thing that blew my mind was the lane row. What that
yeah.
means. Oh, my gosh. Because I told my mother when I was 4 years old, Elaine is leaving. She said she has, and I said she, and then I said they, because it was three of them, but it was one. I said, they said they had to go now because I had to learn life on my own, Mama. She said, and my mother saw the outline of this big, huge white light. And she says, well, they'll be back, you know, and she assured me. But they showed me the constellations of the stars and, you know, how they hook together and all that stuff. I was 4 years old.
And you remember it, which is fascinating.
And I remember it. We just moved into Sharon View Roadhouse. My mother and father had just gotten that bedroom suit. My brother David was just born, and I still have that bedroom suit. So there was a lot of things that clicked to have me remember it, too. So.
That's awesome.
I know. What would you feel of, what do you feel about the animal totems and people having a power animal? Don't you believe that each person has a power animal, and several,
yes.
And they change and shift?
Yes, they have one that, for me, what I've been taught, you have one power animal that basically is with you, and then you have 12 others that kind of rotate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my power totem is wolf.
Oh, good. I'm a member of the wolf clan from the Native Americans, but I tend to go with the owl a lot, the white owl.
Yes, the owl is a powerful. It's very interesting. I use a couple decks that are actually based on animal medicine, and wolf has come up very much. So it's wolf is a teacher. So, whenever he pops up in the cards, I know I'm learning something else or it's time for me to teach something. So
Well, explain to the active listeners about the cards and how the cards work, because, you know, I don't use any tools at all because I just never have, but, you know, I would really love to hear your explanation of them and maybe give a couple of examples.
Sure. Each animal has a certain energy. Like I said, wolf is more the guidance, the teacher. You have eagle, which a lot of people just love eagle, and that's having the overview look, the higher perspective on things. And another one that's very big is dolphin, and that's a very spiritual one because it's in the ocean, and the ocean is associated with intuition and emotions and having a different kind of energy versus the land animals. Whale is the storyteller. It has the ancient wisdoms within it. So the cards that I use, one is by a wonderful man that I actually took a couple classes with, and that was Ted Andrews, who does two of my favorite books, Animal Speaks and Animal Wise. And in those books, he explains what the animal's energy is, and he also asks questions. So you can reflect on how this energy is affecting you or is it around you. For example, the other day, which I think Kathy would be interested in, I actually opened my back door and two monarch butterflies fell from the ceiling right in front of me. They had just came out of their cocoon.
No, that's something that I love.
And they just fell right on the ground, like plop, and I thought, oh, my God, they're hurt. But they flew away. But they were just out of the cocoon.
In that
and
something.
It was beautiful.
Juvenation rebirth.
Yes, and, you know, it's very interesting.
Single drop of little white watery blood anywhere, because that's when you know that you can touch them, because if you touch them before that, then they'll die because their wings are still wet.
I did not touch them. I let them be. I just went, wow, that's really cool. They were absolutely beautiful. But I pay attention to the animals that are around me. I live in the desert, so I have quite a lot of wildlife. In fact, I currently have a big toad that is living right outside my front window in my office that I see pretty often. And toad is the energy of actually fortune, money coming to you. So he can stay out there as long as he wants.
Where's so, Daphne? And
Daphne has also been around quite a long. Daphne is a coyote. Her energy is the trickster, or, you know, if you have tarot cards, she's also associated with the fool. Kind of naive, trusting, knows spirit's there, knows spirit is going to take care of them, but very wise animal, actually, and but also known to kind of fool themselves as well, make a fool of themselves, if you think of Wile E. Coyote, for example. But Daphne is a coyote, a female coyote that's been coming around, God, for how long now?
3 years or 2 years or so.
At least. And she originally came when she was a puppy. I mean, a baby, a little. I've never seen a little tiny coyote. And she came and got a drink out of my bird bath that I have out front for the animals. And she's been coming by pretty regularly. And so when I see him, I originally, you know, I always ask myself, okay, is somebody trying to deceive me? Am I deceiving myself? Am I just trusting and see how I'm doing that at that moment? So, but the animals are very cool.
Going through the ceremonies and the rituals for the Native Americans, until we learned the coyote, which was there to teach us the tricks, we could not go through the veil to the road and become part of, you know, sit with them and learn. It kept us from it. because we had to learn exactly what that coyote was giving us as a lesson. And we had to pass before we could sit with the grandmothers. If that makes any sense.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, because it was for ourselves. And until we learned what we were, you know, playing around and deceiving ourselves with, then we couldn't go forward with our lives.
Yes, I had my lesson with Coyote when I was doing my shamanic apprenticeship, actually around the time of my divorce. And it was very interesting because I got the energy of Wolf that really kind of make sure the divorce went through, because I was very aware of what was going on. But the actual day of the, I had a party to celebrate my divorce, and Coyote was there, quite the trickster, and boy, did I deceive myself in many ways. It was a wonderful lesson.
Yeah, once I learn the lesson, I always, you know, celebrate the lesson, because if I don't, then I can't apply it to the knowledge that becomes my wisdom. And you'll just come right back and do it again, you know, in a different, tricky way. But, you know, I love the coyote because it is so fun. It is fun to learn about yourself that way.
You know, I have to take an update. I have to take an updated picture of her next time she comes by.
Oh, gosh. You want to tell them why we named her Daphne, Daffy?
Because she was acting really daffy, actually. She would come up and she would always be looking up and very skittish and not very trusting, and really was afraid of a bird, like, coming down at her. So I'm not sure if it was a hawk.
Had a hawk come that same day that you saw,
right,
the day after Daffy came.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have things everywhere. Oh, it was a rat snake on the table. That's what it was. You had a dried rattlesnake.
Oh, and yes.
Remember that?
Yes. Yes, and I've had...
Then you've had ducks in the pond, in the pool.
I still have one still comes by.
And roadrunners.
I have lots of roadrunners, and I've got bobcats, and I've got rabbits, lots of rabbits and quail and vultures that come by.
Oh, Jennifer, tell a little bit about the gem show that was in Arizona.
Oh, Tucson has had the largest, I think it's the second largest gem show in the world, and it comes in February for 3 weeks. And it's... The first week is usually just for dealers and buyers, but the other 2 weeks are open to the public, and amazing. Around the world, dealers, buyers, sellers come into Tucson, and literally it takes over Tucson. It is so big, it takes over just about any space that you can rent, including like the baseball stadium here. They actually put a giant tent over it and fill it with vendors. So it is a wonderful experience, and it takes days to go through it. It really does. You can't do them all in one time.
We are getting ready to wrap up, but I was going to say, the place I go and dig my stones, you know, I dig my raw stones at Hidden Night, they just found the largest emerald last week in the United States.
Awesome.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm going. Oh, where's mine? Because I love to get my hands in, because we do it with a slough. We get a big bucket of dirt and then just lay it in the water and with the screen and the slough, you know, and just run through it and find all the emeralds and crystals and amethysts and you name it, they're there.
Yes, and you go to Arkansas for the diamonds.
I didn't know that.
Yes, they have a diamond field in Arkansas outside of Hot Springs, Arkansas. And they also have veins of crystals. And I got some amazing, and that's really fun, digging for crystals and gems It's very grounding and for the energy charge. Wonderful. Oh, my God, it's wonderful.
There's nothing like it. Mm-hmm. And then people bring me back stones from all over the universe, too. So, you know, my mother goes, how are we going to know if anything ever happened to you? And I said, they'll just know.
Yes.
And they just know. But anyway, I've got cards from people, you know, that and pictures of them. So they'll be all right. But.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jennifer, it's 5 before the hour, and we close at 5 before for the next show. Usually there's a show after me. So you want to give out your site one more time and how people can find you and your BBS radio station and time?
You can get in touch with me and read some information on angelsintuition.com. And my radio show is on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific time, and it's AIR. Abstract Illusion Radio. And I thank you, Kathy, for honoring me and gracing me with your presence.
Oh, thank you so much. I love you, sister.
I love you.
And with that, we're off the air. Have a good night, everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.